So today, we're going to stop trying to be a friendly church. We are going to stop trying to be a friendly church. And it sounds kind of counterintuitive. I've never been to a church where people have openly said, no, we do not want to be a friendly church. Most people, and I think everybody would say they want their church to be a friendly church. If you invite a guest, if you invite a friend to come with you at church, you want them to experience a friendly place. If you've been in a church for any length of time, there are probably people you want your guest to avoid. If you don't know who that person is, might be you. But we all want our church to be a friendly place. But I don't believe that being a friendly church is really worth all the effort. And you know, research backs me up on that. Nodding, smiling, giving somebody the head nod or the friendly wave. Did you know that it only counts for about 20% of what it means to be a friendly church in people's minds? That only counts 20%, only gives you one-fifth of the way to being a friendly church. So let me tell you what that means. That it means that if every single person that calls this their church home was to nod or say hello or give a wave to every single person they knew 100% of the time, that would only get us 20% of the way to being a friendly church. So there just isn't a big payoff in trying to be friendly. So as of today, Terrace Pentecostal Assembly is no longer going to strive to be a friendly church. Instead, we're going to attempt to be obedient to God's word and what He says we should do. When it comes to being the kind of church that people recognize as hospitable, accepting, welcoming, and loving, let's look together at God's word and see what it says exactly. What kind of church, what you will be focusing on in the area of becoming welcoming or friendly. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 19. We're going to be talking about some really practical things. I mean really practical. We are going to look at Scripture. We're going to use that and apply that to our lives and the things that we want you to do and we want this church to be. But there's going to be some really practical, hands-on things that you can do. And that Lego that you have, that Lego that was on your chair, that's your Lego. But you only get one piece of Lego. Do not take a second piece of Lego. If you took a second piece of Lego, put it back. You get one piece of Lego. And it's important that you only have one piece of Lego. We'll get to that later. But the Lego is important. After church, after it's all done, the Lego belongs to somebody. You can take your one piece. Do not take the extra pieces. You can only have one. The leftover pieces, we're going to collect those and give them back to who donated them to us. We thank the Arcades for breaking into their stash and giving us their Legos. Somebody said, oh, I love Lego. My grandkids love Lego. You can't have them. Okay? You get one piece of Lego. But that's part of being the church that God wants us to be. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 19. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases Him and love Him and serve Him with all your heart and soul. And you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the object of His love. And He chose you, their descendants, above all other nations, as is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts and stop being stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God. Isn't that funny how the scripture this morning has just dovetailed with worship, right? Who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. So the book of Deuteronomy has two themes to it. One of them is a history lesson, and the other is instructions. The history lesson is God reminding the people of Israel where they've been and where they've come from. When they started their journey into the promised land or to the promised land, God told them, look, anybody alive today will not see the promised land because of some issues they had, some heart conditions they had. He said, only the new generation will see the promised land. And right now, this new generation was getting ready to inherit the land God had promised his people. And so God reminds the people of where they've come from and what he's done for them. And after the history lesson, God gives them specific instructions on how they would possess this new land of possibilities, this new land of promise, this new land dripping with milk and honey. Or in our case, fish. A land they viewed as being a place where things would be better, things would be safer, more filled with provision and blessing, a land of opportunity. And here's the exciting thing. Here in Terrace Pentecostal Assembly stands at the same place. We don't stand in front of new geography. The land hasn't changed, but our opportunity is greater. We're standing at the cusp of something new. I always wanted to use the word cusp in a sermon. But we're standing there at the beginning of something new, new possibilities, new exciting things. New exciting things for the people of this community and great plans for the people of Terrace Pentecostal Assembly. You know what? It's funny. I had two conversations with different people this week about the newness. New people showing up here and new faces every week here at Terrace Pentecostal Assembly. And we're excited about that. But they kind of mentioned a little bit how that's a little bit disconcerting. If you're used to seeing all the same faces all the time, and all of a sudden new people begin to show up, that kind of makes us a little bit uncomfortable. But look, isn't it cool that in this scripture, God mentions those people specifically? God specifically mentions these people. He calls them foreigners living among you. These instructions in Deuteronomy should be our focus as a church here in Terrace in 2016. Rather than being nice or simply focusing on being friendly, God points us in a different direction. There are three things God wants us to focus on as a church. Three things that we need to do if we want to inhabit the new land, these new possibilities. The promised land is Terrace, and possessing it means having an impact on our community for the kingdom of God. Three things we need to focus on as a church. Number one, being a transformed church. Verse 16 says, change your hearts. And just so there's no mistake as to what God means, he gets specific by saying, stop being stubborn. Couple important things to note here. Just like I said, I mean, these instructions by God are clear. And my microphone is now choking me, so I'm just going to take a stop for a second and clip myself back on because my head no longer will move. Yeah, stiff neck. Talk quietly amongst yourselves. There we go. There will be some practical things that we're going to talk about this morning. Some dirt simple things, and we're going to hear what the Word is saying. Then I'm going to give you those practical ideas of things that we can do. The second thing I want you to note is God does not say, I will change your hearts. He says, change your hearts. He says, it's your responsibility to change your heart, to change your attitude. It's something we're supposed to do ourselves. And that's really what an attitude adjustment is, isn't it? It's the way we think, the way we operate. We can ask God for wisdom. We can ask him for strength to know what we need to change and to persevere through the changes we make. But those changes, and we're talking about a heart condition, are ours to make. There are changes that are taking place all over Terrace Pentecostal Assembly. I talked about Sunday school. I know the purpose of Sunday school. I grew up in Sunday school. I know why we did Sunday school. It was for discipleship. And we're going to continue to disciple children. We're going to continue to disciple young people. We're going to continue to disciple adults. It's going to be a huge focus of what we're doing. Growing spiritually does not happen by accident. It happens on purpose. We're going to give you opportunities to focus on your discipleship. You're going to have to choose whether or not you want to participate in those things. We're going to encourage you. But things are going to change. There's a new pastor. There's some of those changes that are just going to come because of the new guy. We won't be returning with our Sunday evening services on a weekly basis. We're hoping to have something on a monthly basis. A hymn sing that we're really praying that God will provide leadership for. There'll be changes that will take place. Our volunteers are going to have a better opportunity to focus on their ministries rather than being run off their feet. There's going to be changes. But none of those things are the kinds of things God is talking about here. God wants change, but He wants us to change our attitudes. God specifically mentions stubbornness. Stubbornness is an example of a bad heart condition. We need more than just a new way of making people feel welcome. We need more than a snazzy brochure. We got a nice brochure. We got nice mugs. We got cool green pens in them. There's Werther candies in our mugs. That's awesome. That's not enough. God doesn't say have snazzy mugs. God says have a transformed heart. So what does that mean? What does a transformed heart look like? What does a transformed attitude look like? That's a big question with a lot of possible answers. The scripture talks about what it looks like from a relationship to God point of view. It says fear the Lord. That's reverence towards Him. It says live with purpose, and that's to please Him. It says love and serve and be obedient. Do you notice that all those things are attitudes? They aren't dress a certain way. They aren't show up to church on a weekly basis. They're heart attitudes. But we want to focus today on how we relate to people, to other people, to new people, the aliens, the newcomers, the foreigners. But Pastor, have we had a stubborn heart attitude towards guests? Well, I'd say no, not openly hostile. I've never heard anyone say having new people and guests is a bad idea or troubling. And in fact, people are mostly excited about it. But we have communicated a wrong attitude towards these foreigners and these newcomers and these guests by clearly saying with our actions that if you are new here, you are not as important as if you've been here a long time. That's going to step on some toes. That's gonna make some people mad. Pastor, you're meddling now. But it's true. We have communicated to people that if it's an unwritten rule that if you've been around for a long time, you are more important than if you're new. Well, how do we do that? Let me point out something to you. And this is something I've talked to the leadership of the church about at length already. Did you know that only one out of the four doors of our front are open on a Sunday morning? Did you know that? You all know that because you've been here a long time. But if you're new and you come up to the door and you pull on one that's locked and you pull on a second one that's locked and you pull on the third one, it's locked. You're really hoping people are committed that they'll pull on the fourth door. Now, that's not a big thing. I know it's not a big thing. But it communicates to people that, you know what? If you don't know what's going on, you're really not that important. Well, how about never explaining why we do what we do, why we stand to sing, why we give financially, any of those things? How about never talking about any of that stuff so people understand why we do it? That's a way that we show people that if you're new, you're not that important. And kids, you are not off the hook as well. Every kid with an activity bag, I want you to look up. Look up at Pastor Mel right now, all you kids. How about not waiting till the new kids that are guests get their activity bags first? Wow. We communicate to people that if you're new, you aren't quite as important as if you've been here a long time. None of those are major issues. We don't put up a moat. There are no alligators that you have to wade through to get to the front door. No. But our attitude does suggest that we need a transforming of our hearts towards guests. Let me lay it out for you plainly. When our heart, when our attitude is transformed to be the way God wants it to be, newcomers, foreigners, guests will be the most important people in our church every single Sunday. I didn't hear one amen. I'm not surprised. That's okay. It's going to take a while. God's going to have to get a hold of your heart. It's transformation. Guests, newcomers, the aliens among us will become the most important people every Sunday if our hearts are transformed. We're going to talk about some very practical ways we can make that happen later on. If we want to possess this land, God wants us to impact it for His kingdom, first of all by being a transformed church, and then by being a reflective church. A reflecting church. You know, there's lots of cheesy phrases about being a reflective church, like Christians aren't the sun, they're only the moon that reflects the sun. How many of you heard that one? That's a good one, right? Or on the negative side, maybe, you know, the quote in a book titled The Knights Templar and the Protestant Reformation states that when Stanley Jones, a missionary, met with Mahatma Gandhi, he said, "Mr. Gandhi, you seem to enjoy the teachings of Jesus so much and you appreciate them so much. When are you going to become a follower of Jesus?" And it's reported that Gandhi says, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." So reflecting, and there's lots of things about being reflecting and reflecting God. But look at what verse 18 says. It says, He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners. God is specifically speaking about people who are new. People who are coming in from somewhere else, another country, another culture. We're to reflect His love to those people. And let's get one thing straight. Church is a different culture. This is a different culture, folks. It's a different culture than anywhere else. You can do things here you can't do anywhere else. If you come into church and you ask somebody to scooch over, they'll probably scooch over. Try that on an airplane. If your pastor, he won't do this here because I'm not a hugger, but if he says, you know what, stand up and give somebody a big hug and greet them and tell them you're glad to see them this morning. Try that at Starbucks. You're in line at Starbucks. Give somebody a big hug. Even do the leg wrap. "Oh, I'm so glad you made it to Starbucks today." Don't tell them you heard it at church. Or how about this at work? I mean, I love it when somebody says amen or somebody says preach it or what, yeah, truth or whatever it is. I love it when people call it like that. It's a Pentecostal church. I think that's great. Try it at your next meeting at work, your next staff meeting at work. "Come on. That's right, principal. That's right, boss. Oh, yeah, come on. The devil is a liar." Try it. This is a different culture. It's a little strange to people who are new. Showing love to foreigners, aliens, guests, that means being aware of how different the culture actually is, how difficult it can be for people to understand. But it's more than just telling them, "Here's what we do." It even goes beyond explaining why we do those things. It means making accommodation for them. The scripture says, "Give them food and clothing." And if that's what our guests need, we should do that. What if they need something else? What if they need us to spend time with them? Invite them for lunch. Spend a few minutes connecting with them during the week or giving up our favorite seat at the back of the church. Being a reflecting church means we pay attention to what our guests needs and then we help fill those needs. So a transformed church, a reflecting church, and how about being a connected church? So you too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. Remember the dotted lines we talked about? Every time I go to bed at night, I see the dotted lines on our quilt that Susie made. I described to you that game we played at youth every year at the beginning of the season. Getting a group of students to hold hands in a circle and then telling somebody else to get inside the circle. And those students would hold their hands so tightly they would elbow and knee and do whatever they could to keep the other student outside the circle. And it was all done, I would say, why did you keep them out? I never told anybody to keep anybody out. We naturally keep people out. We need dotted lines to give people an opportunity to break in. But if you know the dotted lines in a circle still look connected because they're all going in the same direction. We need to have spaces so people can get in. Those connections we're talking about don't happen by accident. We are made for connection. We were never meant to navigate our relationship with God alone. I hope I brought my Lego piece up with me. I did. That's what your Lego piece is for. Get out your Lego piece right now. Get out your Lego piece and hold on to it. It says, show love to foreigners because you used to be the same as them, living in the same place as them. You know what? I live on Agar. I call it the ghetto. I don't know if that's actually the ghetto, but it just seems like it's down there. So I'd call it the ghetto. I mean, that's not probably not the ghetto. But I found out that the Frozes used to live on Agar. And Sonny and Yoon used to live down there. And they knew the guy who used to live in my house. And you know what? That gives me a connection with them. Because we lived in similar places. You know what? If you've lived somewhere that somebody else lives now, you have a connection with them. Go back to your old childhood home and knock on the door and say, I grew up here and this was my room. And all of a sudden you have an affinity with those people. You have a connection with them because you lived in the same place. We were all strangers at one point. We were all strangers at one point. But we were made for connection. People are like Lego. We are all like a piece of Lego. We are God's Lego. I want you to do something for me right now. Build something with your one piece of Lego. You can't. You can't build something with one piece of Lego. Your Lego has to be connected to somebody else's Lego for it to be any good. This is why I wanted to give you a Lego piece. Realize you are not connected and useless by yourself. We need to be connected. There's only one purpose for a Lego. That's to connect to other Lego. If you don't connect the Lego, it's worthless. If you connect Lego together, you can build all kinds of things. Just Google the Lego park or whatever it is. They have an amusement park for Lego. You can see all kinds of things built. If I was talented, I would have built something with Lego, but I'm not. You can build all kinds of cool things with Lego, but not with one Lego. When you connect Legos together, you can build something amazing. Look at what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 say. In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. You are God's Lego. If you are a Christ follower, you are God's Lego. We're called to be connected to others. People have moved from Egypt and are coming to a new place that's here. Don't forget you came from Egypt. If they haven't moved out of Egypt yet, if they're still living in Egypt, don't count them out. Don't count them out. So how do we do all of that? How do we become a transformed church? A reflecting church and a connecting church. How do we communicate that to other people? I promised you some practical hands-on things. A lot of this is going to be a part of our new orientation ministry. We're going to be training people to actually be people who orient people to what goes on here at TPA on a Sunday. It's more than just welcoming. It's orienting. It's going to be launching in the near future. But if you want to follow God's instructions in the new promised land that is our community, if we want newcomers and guests to be the most important people every Sunday, we need to give new people our best attitude. Did you know people make approximately 11 judgments about an organization, a place, or a person in the first 7 seconds? 7 seconds, they make 11 judgments. When somebody walks up to our church, before they get through the door, they will make 11 judgments in 7 seconds. There's no time to put on a good face. There's no time to think about giving a good attitude. It has to be there. You either have an attitude that says people are important or you don't. It's biblical to believe that guests are the most important people. Read Romans 12:10. It says, prefer one another above yourselves. That means other people are more important than you are. And you can't turn your good attitude on and off when you think you see a guest coming. Our whole church, the entire experience, needs to have an attitude that says you matter. It seems like a little crazy that people make that many judgments that fast. It seems almost impossible, but it's true. And here's the not the sad thing, but the difficult thing, is those things are not expressed necessarily in scientific research. It's not expressed in a formal written letter or survey from guests that they would leave with us and say, here's how I felt in the first 7 seconds. It's a feeling. People have a feeling. And that's how this is expressed. It's difficult to quantify and control, but they have them. They happen instantly, and they're expressed in a feeling. Secondly, we need to give them our best communication. Your new transformed heart condition, as God begins to work in you, as God begins to work in us about foreigners and new people and guests, we need to express that to people somehow. If they don't meet us, if we don't express that to them, the effect will not be as powerful. That's why we're going to ask you to observe a new rule. And I know church isn't about rules, but I'm going to give you 2 new rules this morning. This is the first one. And this is really practical. It's called the 10-foot rule. And here's what the 10-foot rule is. If you are within 10 feet of somebody you don't know, say hello. Simple. Say hello. If you're within 10 feet of somebody, say hello. That's the minimum that you should do. What I would also ask you to do is, if you're really committed to this, is introduce yourself to them and then introduce them to somebody else as well. It's simple. It means you're important. It means you're special. If you really want to communicate a transformed attitude, introduce yourself. Find out their name and then introduce them to a few other people. But the minimum is to say hello if you're within 10 feet of somebody you don't know. Next, we give them the best parking. Oh, Pastor, we got that covered. Have you not seen the signs on the front of the building? It says, for Sunday guests. Absolutely. Awesome. That is amazing. That is so good. But that's not transformative. If we're talking about a transformed heart and the evidence of a transformed heart, there will be something more. A transformed attitude that puts others above ourselves doesn't say, I will leave 4 or 5 parking spots for guests. A transformed heart says, I will take the worst parking spot. I will take the parking spot that's the farthest away. So here's what I would ask you to do. On a Sunday morning, rather than take the first spot that's next to the ones that are marked for guests, if you're able-bodied, you park as far away as you possibly can and walk. Park in the back. Park down the street. Right? Leave all the spaces for our guests. If the entire parking lot was empty and the streets were full, far away, I'll tell you something different. But let's leave the best spaces. Now, the next one is probably going to hurt the most. And you can guess where I'm probably going with the next one. If we're going to give them our best communication and our best attitudes and our best parking spots, we also need to give them the best seats. Oh, man. Now we're squirming. Amen. You know, this is one of the single biggest opportunities we have. And we'll be challenged with this tonight. We'll be challenged with this when we have a whole place full of guests tonight that are coming for the concert. Giving up our best seats. I know messing with where people sit can really blow their minds. It can really set some people off. People get attached to where they sit. I understand for some it's a matter of being able to hear. You're hard of hearing. You need a certain spot that you can really connect, and I understand that. We do have headsets for those people that need help with amplification. We also have headsets for those that are looking for translation into Korean. I mean, there's opportunities for you to sit in different places if you need to hear. But most of us sit in the same place strictly out of habit. We like to fill the back seats and the outside seats first. It's funny, because that's the very seats our guests would want to have. And it's awkward for them. And maybe Bugs Bunny can help us see how awkward that actually is. Go ahead and play that clip for us this morning.
Pardon me. Insert two dimes or one dime and two nickels or four nickels or one dime and 10 pennies or one nickel and 15 pennies or two nickels and 10 pennies or three nickels and 5 pennies or 20 pennies. Pardon me.
Pardon me.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm getting sick and tired of this. Take that and that and that.
So you get the idea. So what I'm asking you to do is to leave the back seats and the aisle seats for our guests. Next week, I want you to sit two rows closer to the front than you're used to sitting. Now, if you're already sitting the first two rows, that's okay. Just move to the center. Leave those outside seats and the back seats empty for guests. Now, here's the thing. If you are parents of a small child, you have to make frequent trips in and out of the service. You sit wherever it is that's best for you to sit. We're not going to tell you where to sit. And here's another thing. Do not be judgmental. Give anybody a look or a sneer or a puh. If you see somebody sitting in an aisle seat or in the back row, that's not okay. It's going to take some people longer than others to get this idea of making guests. Some people are going to forget. Oh, I forgot what the pastor said last week. Oh, I just forgot. Don't mention it to anybody. Let God work on their hearts to transform them. One more thing. We might not all move at the same pace with these changes. So be filled with grace towards people. And lastly, we need to give people the best service. I'm going to get the worship team to come and get ready to close. As a church, we're trying to do as many things as we can to make people feel like they're noticed, appreciated, and important every week. We have information brochures. We have a free gift with a connection card. And we have coffee connections. So some things we aren't doing yet that we're going to start to do in the future. We're going to have guest luncheons so that people who have been attending for a short time can meet the leadership and hear who we are and what our vision is. We want to possibly give tours of the church to people so when they come, they can be comfortable in this massive building that you can get lost in. Trust me, you can get lost in the dark here. We're going to ask our orientation team to give personal service. If somebody needs direction somewhere, if it's more than 10 feet away, we want them to take people there instead of pointing. There's one thing I want everybody to start. The second rule if we're going to give the best service. The second rule is called the 5-minute rule. Let's stand together. We got the 10-foot rule. If you're within 10 feet of somebody you don't know, introduce yourself. Find out who they are. Possibly introduce them to somebody else if you feel comfortable. But the 5-minute rule. The 5-minute rule, I talked about that moment when the people first approached. There's two moments of truth. It's the first impression and the last impression. We only get one chance to give a first impression. But the last impression is equally important. So here's the 5-minute rule. At the conclusion of every Sunday service, after the benediction is given, rather than connect with your friends about where you're going to have lunch, rather than connect with your family about how awful the sermon was, before you have roast pastor, I want you to spend the first 5 minutes connecting with a guest. Find somebody new and connect with them. That first 5 minutes, that's the 5-minute rule. It may not take you 5 minutes. But you know what? Invite them to Coffee Connection. Have a coffee with them. Have a cookie with them. But that first 5 minutes at the conclusion of the service is our last chance to have a good impression on a guest. Lots of other things I wanted to talk about. Lots of things I wanted to talk about our connection groups and how they're going to be necessary for us to build that connection, for us to put our Legos together with other people. More information about that next week at the facilitator and host training. But I hope you hear me. We are all God's children. We're all important. But there are some foreigners, some people new to the culture that need extra attention. They need extra care. And that's what today's about. Father God, we thank you that you look down on us and you have time for us. You opened up your arms to us when we weren't even paying attention to you. When we wanted nothing to do with you, you were still pursuing us. Father God, help us to have a similar heart to new people and to guests and to foreigners and people who are just checking it out. New believers, Lord God. The unsaved, Lord God, anyone who comes through our doors, help us to have that kind of attitude, Lord God, that says they're important and we care. Father, help us as we struggle with changes and help us as we struggle with a new way of doing things and looking at things. But Father, help us to always keep our eyes on you and what you're trying to accomplish in your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.